Well, this morning I'm going to talk to you about what is a Christian. Really, what is a Christian? What is a real Christian? I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of people have different ideas what a Christian is. They think, well, I'm just as good a Christian as the next person because I don't cheat, I don't rob banks, I don't steal, and I don't lie. I don't go out and get drunk every Saturday night. I'm just as good a Christian as you are. And thinking about that, I was thinking about, well, somebody could say, well, I'm just as good a race car as A.J. Foyt's car because I don't leak oil and I don't boil over antifreeze when I get angry and all hot. Or you could say, well, I'm just as good a racehorse as the Kentucky Derby winner because I eat oats for breakfast and I live in Kentucky. When I get cold, they put a blanket on me. I live in a barn, sleep on the straw. Well, that doesn't make you a racehorse. The only way that you're going to be a racehorse is to be born a racehorse. Somebody said, they was talking about some people think, well, you become a Christian by shaking hands with the preacher. Well, he said, you know, shaking hands with the preacher doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a barn makes you a mule. What is a Christian really? Well, let's begin over in Romans, the 10th chapter. I have a lot of verses I'd like to look at this morning with you. In Romans, the 10th chapter, we find out in talking about what is a real Christian. Really, what is a Christian? The first thing we find out is a Christian is someone that has a new Lord, a new boss, a new master, a new leader. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, many translations say, if you'll agree with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, that's what a Christian is. They're a person that's saved. Well, people have made fun of that, and I don't blame them because, you know, they say, saved from what? Well, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. A Christian is saved, but I really don't like to use that term so much because it's so open to misunderstanding. People don't understand what you're talking about. It says, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. Well, really, the main meaning of the word saved is delivered, set free, made whole, made right, delivered. You say, well, delivered from what? Well, in Colossians chapter 1 at verse 13, it says, speaking of God the Father, it says, who hath, that's past tense. Of course, this is written, verse 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. This is written to those that have received the new Lord, that have received Jesus, that are in Christ. We'll talk about being in Christ a little bit more later on. Verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from what? From the power, that means the authority of darkness. Well, in the scripture, that's always talking about Satan's realm, Satan's kingdom, Satan's dominion. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Of his dear Son. You see, you change kings, new king, new Lord. Now, a lot of people are, that's the reason they don't desire to become a Christian. They do not desire to have somebody be the Lord of their life. But what they do not realize is that they already have a Lord. They already have a master. They already have someone that's ruling over them. And Jesus said that he's a thief that comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now that's the kind of master that you have if you don't choose Jesus. It's kind of like there's only two choices. It's kind of like getting out of bed in the morning or whenever you do that exercise. depending on what hours you work and so forth. It's kind of like that. You only got two choices. If you don't make the choice to get up, you already made the choice to stay in. And that's the way it is if you don't make the choice to receive Jesus, you're already in Satan's dominion. Think about it like this. Think about it like as being changing lands, changing kingdoms. Wouldn't you much rather live in the United States of America than in Soviet Russia? You'd have a ruler, you'd have a leader or a president or whatever title you go by in either country, wouldn't you? Well, just because you live in the United States of America, does that mean that the president orders you when to brush your teeth and when not to? No, thank God. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Certainly, God has instructions for you because He loves you, and He's given instruction in His Word what's most profitable for you and what you should do, what you're supposed to do. But if you don't do it, that doesn't mean that He's going to beat you over the head and send you to the federal penitentiary tomorrow because you brushed your teeth 2 minutes late. Is He? Well, a Lord, when you talk of Lord, you're talking of also a provider, the one that's responsible. And you're also talking about the one that you're going to get whatever He gets. In other words, if you line up, if there's two teams, two sides, two countries at war, let's say, and you're on the side that loses, well, you're going to get wiped out just like the leader. Well, that's the way it is with having Jesus as your Lord. You're delivered from that wrath to come. You're delivered, the Bible says, from that wrath to come. You're delivered from Satan's judgment. As long as Satan is your Lord, as long as he's your master, you're going to get the same judgment that he gets, and that's not good. But if you receive Jesus as your Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he's alive, and you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, then the Bible says you will be saved. That means you'll be delivered. Delivered out of what? Delivered out of Satan's kingdom, delivered out of Satan's authority, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Son of His love. Well, that's what a real Christian is a person that has a new Lord, a person that has, by their own free choice, changed lords. When they change lords, they change kingdoms. And when they change lords, they get new life. Let's go over to 1 John, that is the epistles of John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given. Notice again the past tense here. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So a real Christian is not only a person that receives a new Lord, but when you receive the new Lord, you receive Jesus. The Bible says that if you have the Son of God, that you have the life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have the life. What kind of life is he talking about? God's life. Eternal life. You see, when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's not talking about life that will last forever. It's not talking about existing forever. Because every human being will exist forever somewhere, one way or the other, literally. We can prove that very readily to you, that it's not just talking about life as to its duration, but life as to its quality, by going back to the third chapter here and reading in verse 14. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have, notice again, past tense, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding or living in him. You see, eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life is a quality of life or a substance that can live in you. And that's the way, even though you weren't born a racehorse, to use their illustration, you can get the new life in you by receiving the Son of God, by receiving Jesus as your Lord. You receive new life. And that life is God's life. And of course, that life is going to cause you to be born into God's family. But let's talk some more about the life. A Christian is a person that has received new life. God's life. A real Christian is a person that has God's life on the inside of them. Did you notice here in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murder hath eternal life abiding in him. So we can have eternal life living in us right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Now notice verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. You see, here, as in many other places, the New Testament makes it clear to us that a person that does not or has not received Jesus as their Lord is dead. You say, well, how can they be dead? They're walking around. They're existing, but the real person on the inside is dead. I don't mean they don't exist. You see, death in the Bible never means non-existence. Death in the Scripture does not mean, like we think of it, as cessation of existence, ceasing to exist. Death doesn't mean that. Death just means passing from one realm into another. You see, when we die physically, we don't cease to exist. The Bible teaches us that we just leave our body. Just like you'll leave this building 2 or 3 hours. Maybe. Just like you leave this building after a while. Well, you won't be in the building anymore. Well, your body is just a house, a building, a tent, the Scripture calls it, a tabernacle that you're living in. And one day, if Jesus doesn't come back before, and I'd say there's a real good possibility that he may for most of us, before we die a natural death. Anyway, if that doesn't happen, you're going to leave your body. Now, you don't cease to exist. You just cease to exist in your body. And the Bible also talks about spiritual death. That doesn't mean that you're not a spirit being, that you're not a real person. It just means that your spirit is unhooked from God. You're alienated. You're separated from the life of God. Just like I've used this illustration before, but you can have a refrigerator. If it is unplugged from the wall socket, the electrical socket, you could say it's dead. It still looks like a refrigerator. It still may even have food in it, but it won't be keeping it cold. It won't be functioning as it was manufactured and designed to function. Well, that's the way with mankind. Without Jesus Christ being the Lord of their life and receiving His life on the inside of them, they look, you know, the same and everything, but they're not functioning as they were designed by the Creator to function, because they're separated from His life. I'm sure you can see that. Good. Now, let's go back to John, the 6th chapter. Look at this just a little more. 6th chapter of John. Get your fingers all ready to go there, because we like to look at several scriptures. John, the 6th chapter, Jesus said in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, or eternal life. Those that believe on Jesus have something. They have on the inside of them, down in their innermost being, down in their spirit, they have eternal life. In the Greek, this word life is zoe, and it's the kind of life that is ascribed to God Himself. Hallelujah. It's the very life of God. And that when you receive a new Lord, you receive new life, and that new life makes you to be a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Turn there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When you receive a new Lord by your choice, God never forces you. He loves you and He's made it available. You receive a new Lord, then in Him is life. He that has the Son has the life. You receive the life. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, has the life of God. You receive that new life, and that new life, the life of God, causes you to be, as the Scripture speaks of, born again. Well, if you're born again, that means you're a new person. Right? Right. That's what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. A new person. He's a new person. If any person is in Christ, he is a new person. What is a real Christian? A real Christian is a new person. A different person than they used to be before receiving Jesus. You say, well, I don't look any different. I still have three hairs right up here on the top of my head, and I still have this little freckle right here on my chin, and I'm still 5'7" tall, and my hair is still blonde. I don't think I'm a new person. Well, you're just talking about the house you're living in, because your body is not you. Your body is the place where you live. The real you is the hidden man on the inside. Have you ever been to a funeral and seen somebody laying there in a coffin? Well, a lot of ways it may still look like that person, but that person is not there. That's just the dwelling place that they were living in on this earth. And usually it doesn't really look that much like them either. That's just the house they were living in. If you become a Christian, you're a new person. To go on in this verse, it says, old things are passed away. Now, what's it talking about? Well, you had three freckles on your nose, and so they're passed away. No, it's talking about the real you, the inner you, not your body. The old things are passed away. Behold, that means look and see. Realize all things are become new and all things are of God. Hallelujah. Talking about on the inside of a person. They become new. There's new life on the inside. There's a new person. Now that has great possibilities. You know why? I won't ask for showing of hands, but if I went throughout the world, there's no question but what it almost be unanimous on this question is how many people have ever in their life wished they could just start over. Just wish they could start life over. Oh, I just wish I just had another chance here. You may not think, well, I don't want to start over and be born and have to go through school again and all that, but I just wish that I could make a fresh start here. I just wish I hadn't made all those mistakes and all those sins and everything. I'd like to start over. Well, God says right here that by receiving Christ, becoming in Christ, that you become a new person. You get a fresh start, a new start. You can start life over. And when you start life in this sense, spiritually, before God, it says the old things have passed away. What does that mean? Well, all that sin, all those failures, all those mistakes. Thank God it's gone. It's wiped out. How's it wiped out? Because Jesus paid the price by being our substitute that we could justly not only be forgiven by God, but have the past just absolutely blotted out. Just like you take a chalkboard and take the eraser and erase it, and if that isn't good enough, well, you just wash it down to where there's absolutely no trace that there was ever any chalk marks there. Old things passed away, and all things have become new, and all the things that are new are of God. Thank God when we're born again, we're not half devil and half Christian. We're children of God. We have God's life. Well, some might say, well, this says you become a new person, yes, but that says when you get in Christ, that's only when you go to heaven, isn't it? I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go over to Ephesians, the second chapter, and clear this up for you. Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 8. For by grace, that is God's grace, of course, God's grace, God's favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Notice this. It's being saved, it's not by the works that we do. It's not by trying to be good. It's not by trying not to do wrong things. It's not by seeing how we can please God by what we do. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that? It's talking here in the context of being saved, being delivered by faith through God's grace, by grace through faith. And it says that we are God's workmanship, that is God's work of art, created in Christ. In other words, when He creates us, when we're born again, when we're delivered out of one kingdom and delivered into a new kingdom, we receive the new life, that's when we become, quote, in Christ, end of quote. You see that? If that didn't convince you, we could go over, let me just read this to you. You don't have to turn to it. We could go over again to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him. This is written by and to people that were on the earth, not in heaven. It says, we know that we are in Him right now, you see. We're in Christ right now. In Christ. We were created in Christ Jesus. When God gave us new life, there was a new creation that caused a new person, and that person was in Christ. Hallelujah. So while we're right here in Ephesians, let's look a little bit more closely at verse 10 again, where it says, we are His workmanship. A real Christian, or what is a Christian, really? One of the things you'd have to say about them is they are God's workmanship. That means that they are the work of God. They are God's work. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think if you said it like this, you could understand it easier. God's work of art. God's artistry. God's crowning creation. Do you get the picture? As a real Christian, you are what God made. Now again, we're talking about the inner person. Of course, this inner person, if allowed to, is going to be manifest through the actions and through the words and everything, right? The question is, what kind of work does the Creator God do? Well, to get a scriptural answer, we would have to go either to the beginning or the ending of the Bible. And in the beginning of the Bible, we can see in the last verse, I believe, of the first chapter of Genesis, it says, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And remember, that's from God's standpoint. And if God says something is very good, His standards are way up there. Do you follow me? God's work is very good. It's perfect. So when it says, as a real Christian, as somebody that's saved or delivered, when you're delivered, of course, you receive the new Lord. That's how you get delivered, that you receive new life. That makes you a new person. Well, what does that make you? What kind of a new person are you? A flop? A failure? A no good? A loser? A sinner? No. Oh, aren't we sinners? No. You can still sin, but that doesn't mean you're a sinner. Just like I could run a foot race, but that doesn't mean I'm an Olympic runner. It's not a perfect illustration, but the fact of the matter is that when you're born again, you become a new person. You were a sinner, then you got saved, you got delivered, you received new life. You became a child of God. That's another one we'll look at in a minute. What is a real Christian? Child of God. Well, God doesn't have any children that are made sinners. He doesn't make sinners. He doesn't create sinners. He creates people that are in right standing with Him. Right? God's workmanship. You're God's work of art. You're the best God could do. Now, don't get down on God. Just realize that you got much more potential than you've been walking in. You got much more potential than has been drawn out, see? Just like a 3-year-old child. Well, you may think, well, they're not very smart. They can't drive a car. Well, they can't write their name, maybe. Sometimes you think they can barely talk. Well, that's a really ignorant person. No, they got a lot of potential. It's just got to be drawn out. For all you know, they'll be flying a spaceship by the time they're as old as you are. So they'll probably be knowing things and doing things that's way beyond your education. And you know, as Christians, that applies for us too. Is if we just let God teach us by His Word, He can draw out of us and we can just go way beyond what people have been. Because we're God's workmanship. God made us. Hallelujah. And we are in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that again. We're created in Christ Jesus. Now, as you go through the Bible, I know most of you know this, but there are many, many, many times, dozens and dozens of times, the Scripture talks about in Christ. And so all of those things that it talks about in Christ, that applies to a real Christian, doesn't it? Because this says right here that when you're saved, you're delivered, you are created in Christ Jesus. And who does the creating? God. You're God's workmanship. You're what God has made you. Hallelujah. Well, what has He made you? Look over Romans chapter 8. What is a Christian really? What is being a Christian all about? Well, a real Christian is a child of God. How does he become a child? Well, he becomes a child of God because he's born of God's life. So he's born into the family of God. He receives the life of God. He's born again, becomes a new person on the inside. In Romans 8, verse, I'd like to begin with verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, if we're God's children, that means we're in His family. We are the children of God. Verse 17 continues on, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. A real Christian is a joint heir with Christ. How many of you know what a joint banking account is? A joint banking account means that two or more people would have the privilege of drawing on that account equally. In other words, they have equal rights. It belongs to both of them. Well, this says that we are joint or equal heirs with Joe Blow over there on the corner. No. With Christ. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, we'll go home and buy you a coffin and crawl in. Joint heirs with Christ. Everything that He can draw upon, we can draw upon. Everything that belongs to Him belongs to us. You say, well, then why don't I have 29 cents to finish paying my rent? I don't know. Why don't you? No, that's not a good way to say it. But the truth of the matter is that God's Word, the Bible, is the instruction book on how to receive. Colossians 1:12. Well, don't turn there, but the verse right before one that we looked at says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or able or capable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We've been made able to do it. You might say it kind of like this. I am able to run a 10-mile race. I'm able to do that. Quit laughing. But to tell you the truth, I've never done it. But I'm able. I mean, I got all the equipment. I got 2 legs, 2 feet. Right? I really got the innate ability. I know I have. I ran a little over 6 is the most I ever made. But if you could go 6, you could go 10. It's just a matter of drawing it out. It's just a matter of training. It's just a matter of conditioning. If you've got 2 legs and a heart and lungs and basically all the standard equipment that comes with the body, you have the ability to run a 10-mile race. You've got that ability. But you may not be able to do it this afternoon without going through a lot of suffering. But legally, really, the truth of the matter is that you could do it if you wanted to. Whether you realize that before or not, that's the truth. You could do it if you wanted to. Most of us just don't want to. Well, God's Word says He's made us able to be a partaker of it, but that doesn't mean we'll just sit down here and, somebody's liable to throw it at you by 2 o'clock this afternoon. You know, just like somebody throwing a pie in your face and there it'll be. No, that isn't what it has to mean. It means that God gave you that ability. Now, if you'll follow the instruction book, you can draw it out and you can be a receiver of it. Child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, equal heir with Jesus Christ. Praise God. We're pretty close to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. What is a Christian really? What's Christianity all about? Is it just trying to do better? Is it just going to church on Sunday? Well, no. I mean, you could go into a barn every day for 40 years and it wouldn't make you a cow. That's what a lot of people think. Oh, I'm a good Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Well, just because you eat rabbits I messed it up, didn't I? Just because you eat a carrot for every meal doesn't make you a rabbit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed. That means set us free, bought us back and set us free. He's redeemed us, set us free from the curse. From the curse. Why? Because He was made a curse for us. He took the punishment that should have fallen on us. He took what we deserve so that justice could be satisfied. He took our place. He was our substitute. Praise God. So, what is Christianity all about? What's involved in being a real Christian? Well, a real Christian is someone that is set free from the curse. Praise the Lord. You say, well, what's the curse? Well, I'll just tell you real quickly, it's everything that's bad. You say, well, I know lots of Christians and they're not set free from everything that's bad. I know a lot of people sitting out there of you that could run a 10-mile race and you haven't ran a mile. Right? But you could. I didn't see any of you brought in here this morning in wheelchairs. You could. You got 2 legs, you could do it. You say, well, if it's that hard, I'm not even going to try. Well, there's one great thing going for you here is you got a good helper. The Holy Spirit to help you. Got a good teacher, a good helper. But I'm not going to stand up here and try to deceive you and make you think it's going to be just like falling off a log. But I'm here to tell you that you really don't have any other choice except failure and fear and futility and discouragement and depression. You don't have any other choice but to go with God. And it's not that difficult. I know I used to go to school and I can understand, have empathy with some of these children. They say, you know, boy, I've got 10 more years to go to school. I'll never get out of this. This seems like forever. And they may say something like, maybe they have an older brother or sister. Oh, I'll never be able to do that algebra. Oh, it's so hard. Well, maybe I picked a bad example, but But basically, I never had any trouble with algebra. It was just school I had trouble with. Basically, if you take her one grade at a time, or could I even put it this way, one day at a time, you do your work every day, it's not going to be that difficult when you get there to algebra or anything else. If you've laid the foundation. And it may seem like, oh, this is, I've got so far to go and it's going to take me years before I even graduate from high school. So what? What else have you got to do anyway? And that's the way it is with being a Christian and receiving all the benefits that are yours in Christ Jesus. Being a partaker of your inheritance. You may say, oh, well, that's just so far out there. It's so hard for me to see how I could ever believe for God to give me anything, even to answer my prayer. Well, take the first step. Get into the Word. Take the first step. You're going to be around anyway doing something. You might as well be doing the right thing. That's the most profitable for you. Say, oh, it takes too long. Well, it's worth it. Besides that, you're going to be around doing something anyway. Why worry about how long it takes? Well, you're free from the curse. That means free from everything bad. Why? Because Jesus bore the curse for you. He became a curse for you that you could be set free. Doesn't make any sense that Jesus had to suffer and then you have to suffer too. That wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be fair if one of my children, I won't name any names, I don't want to make this seem slanted, but one of my children did something wrong, and I knew that it was them that did that wrong, and so I gave them a spanking, and then another child come along, and I says, well, I just feel like I'm going to whip you too, and that wouldn't really be fair, would it? Because the punishment had already been given out. Well, in this case, we were the guilty ones. But because of His love, Jesus said, I'll take your place. I'll take your punishment. I'll suffer what you deserve. I'll go to hell for you. I'll suffer separation from God for you. And since the punishment has already been paid and God has already said that's enough, that settles it, that takes care of it, the price is paid, then for us to come along and have to suffer wouldn't be fair. And God is fair, whether you realize it or not. Free from the curse. Well, look at Romans. We're still fairly close there. Romans chapter 5. What's a Christian? Well, he's a person that receives a new Lord by his own choice. With that, gets new life. That new life makes him a new person. What kind of person is he? Well, he's God's workmanship, God's work of art. And that is in Christ. That person is in Christ. And in Christ, you're a child of God, an equal heir with Jesus. And you're free. You're set free from the curse because Jesus took that for you in your place. Now, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured out or poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. A real Christian is a person that has the love of God. God's love. Turn back again to 1 John chapter 3. That's the epistle again. Toward the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 3. Let's read it again. Verse 14. I'll wait. We're full of God's love. A Christian, what's it really all about? Well, a Christian, they receive that new life. They're born into a new family, and it gives them a new nature. What kind of nature do they receive? A love nature, not a hate nature. Somebody says, I guess I'm not even a Christian. I thought I was, but I had a bad thought towards somebody. Well, maybe you aren't. But then on the other hand, it's talking about the love of God in your heart. Your head still sometimes can go haywire if you let it. But here's the way to really judge thinking about a person. You need to forgive, but maybe you haven't yet. If you haven't, you better do it, because you're giving place to the devil, whether you knew it or not. But you say, oh, I just can't stop hating that person. Well, do you want them to go to hell? Is that what you mean? That's your really desire, I mean, on the inside of you, down in your heart. You're just super interested in them going to hell and suffering for eternity. You say, oh, no, I don't want that, you know. Well, that's where it's talking about loving them in your heart. Now, you're supposed to make your head line up with your heart, but just because you had a bad thought about somebody doesn't necessarily mean that that you don't have the love of God in your heart. You have to be the judge of that. I can't. But anyway, 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death, that's Satan's realm, Satan's nature, unto life, that's God's realm, because we love the brethren. We love. We have God's love, the agape, God kind of love. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You're not born again if you don't have that love of God in your heart. The God kind of love. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, so we see that, as Romans 5:5 tells us, that the love of God is poured out in our heart, on the inside of us. A real Christian is a person that has God's love. And I think it'd be worth adding that a person that does have God's love is certainly, at least part of the time, even by accident, going to act like it. See what I'm saying? I know that there's a lot of Christians that don't have their minds renewed, and they may have the love of God in their heart. But if you really got the love of God in your heart, I think that at least part of the time, it's going to come out. Now, I'm not trying to get you to go out and be judges of somebody and say, well, that person, I just don't know about them. But really, the truth of the matter is if you've got God's love in your heart, it's going to manifest in action sometime, isn't it? Well, we're right there close by, 1 John chapter 5. The last thing I'd like to look at this morning is, I see some of you staring in disbelief. Well, we'll see. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever, that means whosoever, to us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, a real Christian, someone that's believed on Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God and their Lord and Savior, is a world overcomer. That means that anything that a Christian would face in this world, he can overcome it instead of being overcome by it. Now, I realize I may be preaching pretty high for some of you, but that's what the Scripture says. God made you capable when you were born again. Why? Because he gave you a measure of his faith. And by that faith that he used to create the worlds, you can use that faith if you'll use it according to his instructions, and that is, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Of course, you're going to have evidence to believe it, and that's the Word of God gives us the evidence. We feed it into our heart, we say it out with our mouth, and it comes to pass. Anything that we could ever face in this world, any problem, any calamity, any difficulty, any situation, a child of God can overcome it. I didn't say they'd never face it. If you never face anything, then you have nothing to overcome, do you? Did you understand that? To overcome something, you're going to have to face it. You're going to have the problem to overcome it. Otherwise, you don't overcome it. You don't even know it was there. But you can, by being a real Christian with a new Lord, new life, you're a new person, you're God's workmanship, God's work of art, you're in Christ. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're free from the curse. You're full of God's love. With all of that going for you, you can, with the measure of God's faith on the inside of you, you can overcome anything. That means you come out on top in the final analysis. Now, I'm not just talking about when you die. You know, yes, brother, I know we come out on top as soon as we die. This says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That means things in this world. That means now. Right? Sure, when we leave this body and go to be with Jesus, well, He's going to take good care of us. But He'll take good care of us now if we'll just follow His instructions. One time I was feeling kind of sorry for myself, thinking, oh, I just wish things was working better here. You know, kind of, what's the matter, God? That type of attitude. Don't raise your hand, but I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about. And just like that, it came to me. I'm sure it was the Lord. It came to me like this, as you're only a failure. That's what I was thinking. Oh, I'm just a failure here. Tried, and it's just not working. And the Lord said, you're only a failure in those areas of your life where you've not acted on my word. And I thought about that for about half a second and realized that was the truth. You're only a failure in those areas of your life where you haven't acted on my word. A lot of those areas I knew the word, but, you know, I just didn't feel like right at that point in time acting on it. You've never felt that way, though, have you? Well, if we act on the instructions that the God of love gave us through His word, the Bible, we can overcome any situation, any problem. Overcome it. Now, I didn't say you'd never face it. I didn't say you'd overcome it in 20 minutes or 20 days. But I am saying that the Bible says that you are a world overcomer. That means that if you make the decision to, that everything is available, that you have the capability to overcome any problem you ever face. That means instead of it getting you down, well, you get it down. You overcome it. You come out on top. You go over instead of go under. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible says. That's not just what I'm saying. This is the Bible. This is what God says. Whatsoever is born of God. Not just preachers. Not just a few special ones. But anybody that's born in God's family has this capability. That's what a real Christian really is. I realize we could go on and on. I know it's simple to a lot of you. But we need reminded of these things. Who we are. What is a Christian? It's not by what we do. There is one part I left out. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, I'll put that in. It's not by what we do that makes us a Christian. But on the contrary, it's what God has done that makes us a Christian, and then that makes us able to do something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we didn't read all the verse. It says, for we are His workmanship, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now what that means in simple language is that God made us. When we were created in Christ Jesus, when we received new life into our spirits, God made us so that we'd be able to do the right thing. We'd be able to do good instead of doing bad. It would be natural for us to do good instead of natural for us to do bad. You see that? God doesn't save us because we do good works. We're not a real Christian because, well, I do this and I do that and I don't do these other things. That doesn't make you a Christian. But when you are made a Christian by receiving a new Lord, new life, you become a new person. You're free from the curse. You're God's workmanship. You're in Christ. You're a child of God. You're an equal heir with Jesus. You're full of God's love. You're a world overcomer. When you become that, then you will certainly do some good things. Do some things right for a change. You're created unto good works. That means with the ability to do right. But it's not by doing right that we're going to come into right standing with God. Because Jesus already did right in our place and then suffered the punishment that we deserve so that we could, by receiving Him as our Lord, by God's free gift, be brought into right standing with God. Aren't you glad that people here on this earth can have a new start? They can become a new person, get a new Lord, instead of that old Lord that steals, kills, and destroys, and we come out defeated, and we can have Jesus, the good shepherd, the good provider, good master, be our Lord. Be the one that takes care of us. Be the one that guides us through life. Stand with me, please. Maybe you're a person that has never received Jesus as your Lord. If so, well, I can tell you right now that Jesus said, those that come to me, I won't kick any of them out. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out, the King James says. So, you see, God loves you and He's more interested in you than you are. He's more interested in your welfare and success and happiness, well-being, both now as well as for all eternity. He's more interested in you than you are. He loves you more than you love yourself. He's more ambitious for your success than you are. What kind of a God would we have if He was interested in His children being a bunch of failures? He's not that way. You say, well, how can I become a Christian? Well, remember the verse we started with, Romans, the 10th chapter? If you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead. Say, what's all that mean? Well, it means, first of all, that you're making a stand before all of hell, before all of heaven, before all the angels, before all the demons. You're putting your foot down and say, I am making the choice to choose Jesus. And then, believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead. Well, if you don't believe He's alive, well, you're not going to be calling on Him, are you? But when He was raised from the dead, that means, according to what Scripture teaches, that the total price was paid, that all sins that you'd ever committed were paid in full. Justice was satisfied. So you can, if you believe in your heart, Jesus died for you, He paid the price, and when He rose from the dead, well, God was saying, and through that, the price is paid. So if you just change lords and say, I received Jesus as my Lord, you don't even have to ask God to forgive you. Isn't that something? That don't hurt anything. God's not going to hit you in the mouth if you say, forgive me. But He's already forgiven you. He's already given you a pardon, but until you receive it, it does you no good. How do you receive it? Well, by receiving Jesus as your Lord. How do you receive Jesus as your Lord? Well, you say with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. You say, can it be that simple? Well, it has to be come from your heart. You have to mean it in your heart. It's not just a matter of saying a few words, you know. It's a matter of saying what you believe in your heart. But saying it, making that determination. Jesus is my Lord. And I believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead. So maybe you're that in that kind of a situation here this morning. I don't know. I'm not your judge. But I know who is. The Bible says Jesus is, and Jesus said, the words that I have spoken will be your judge. So, if you act on His word, you're going to be in good shape, aren't you? Close your eyes, right where you stand. If you'd like to receive Jesus, well, you can right there. You don't have to be in church service. God will hear you wherever you are, whenever you call upon Him. The thing to realize is that it's profitable, it's beneficial for you to receive Jesus as your Lord. He's more concerned with you, every aspect of you, than you are. You don't have to think, well, I can trust myself, but I'm not too sure about this Jesus person. He might make me go to Africa. He might make me give all my money away. Well, I'm not going to promise you he won't. But what I will promise you is that he'll give you the desire to do that. And it'll be for your good, and you'll be supremely happy that you did it. And I'll guarantee you this, that you're being a joint heir with Jesus doesn't mean that you're going to have to be poor, or doesn't mean you're going to have to be sick, because he's not sick and he's not poor. And since he isn't, well, you don't have to be. Just to be quite frank about it, there's no drawbacks to being a Christian. Not one. There's not one drawback. There's not one real reason or excuse a person could use and say, I don't want to be a Christian because of this. It's only through ignorance of the truth that they could say anything. Because there is no reason not to receive Jesus. Absolutely none.